Hey, and welcome to episode 86 of Fit Friends Happy Hour. In this episode, Katie and I interview Kristen Mueller, one of our longtime listeners, about all of the ups and downs, twists and turns that she's gone through since graduating college. We think it's so important to listen to other people's experiences of dealing with all of the craziness that it is being in your 20s. We hope Kristen's story inspires you to go after more of what you want out of life. All right, to the show.
Welcome to Fit Friends Happy Hour with your hosts, Katie Hake and Lauren Wrighton.
Hey, Kristen, we are so excited to have you on the podcast today.
Hi, I'm so excited to be here. This has been a long time coming. I'm so excited.
Yeah, you're probably our favorite listener. Don't tell anybody else. But we always like imagine you. You're like our avatar. We like think about you whenever we are talking, basically.
We're like, well, if Kristen likes it, then everybody will like it.
Like a Fit Friends Happy Hour fan club.
So Kristen and I knew each other first from Group X at Purdue, but I feel like we didn't even really become like friends until after Purdue, which is funny and ironic because that's how Lauren and I were. Like, it wasn't until after that we became closer friends and realized, wait, we have a lot more in common than we think.
For sure. Yeah. I feel like that's actually that way with a couple of different friend groups, like from Purdue. Like, I feel like we didn't really connect until after college. It's just weird how adulting works out and brings everybody together.
Yeah. So Kristen, so you actually came to Fort Wayne because you had friends in town and came to one of my PIO classes. And we always just kind of kept in touch because sometimes graduating, I feel like then you're in that, we've done podcast episodes on this of how you kind of almost, I don't want to say weed out, but like you just start connecting more with people who you have more in common with. And I feel like we just were always texting or just randomly, you know, Facebook messaging about random goals and, you know, talking about goal setting and just different things that we had going on.
For sure. I am a huge, huge, huge believer in the fact that you're like the five people that you spend the most time with. And I feel like you have different friends for different seasons of life. And that's just a fact of life. And that's just how it is. And I feel like after college, you really get to, like, you have quote unquote free time, but not really free time. But you really get to kind of dig into that a little bit more and kind of do what you want to do instead of what you're supposed to be doing per se.
Yeah, so true. And almost whenever you leave college, it's like you realize, oh, well, now I really need to try to make friends because I don't have all of these people my age around me. So it kind of just like get more serious about who your friend's going to be.
I say, me and my roommates had such, it was almost like a breakup. Like, you can't just yell down the hall to them anymore and be like, hey, what are you doing? Oh, wait, I have to actually call you now. Like, this is weird.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which takes a little bit more effort
than
just yelling down the hall.
And scheduling and now kids and husbands and life and yeah.
So true. So where are you living now?
So I am back in St. Louis. So backstory on that. So I went to Purdue not knowing a single soul, got into their nursing program. It's a direct admit program, went straight from high school. My random roommate freshman year, I ended up being maid of honor in her wedding, and we are still friends to this day. That's actually who lives in Fort Wayne, so that's usually who I'm going to see if I am up that way. But yeah, so I went to school at Purdue, obviously. Went to Houston between my junior and senior year of school to do an externship down there. So I am obviously a nurse, but did a rotation in a adult neurosurgical ICU at the time. Knew I always wanted to do peds just because I had, I was in the hospital a couple times, like as myself, and there were some really rude nurses out there. Like, it's awful. And I just knew that I didn't want to be one of those people. And that's kind of how I got into nursing. And then just grandparents and life and seeing kind of how the medical world affects everyone and how like good, bad, and ugly. So then I started volunteering at St. Louis Children's Hospital. When I was still in high school, found out that I loved that. So then I went to nursing school, got in, went to Houston, thought that I wanted to do that, loved the floor that I was on, loved the unit. But then when I went back the following summer, so I moved pretty quickly after graduation. I moved, I think, literally like 2 weeks after graduation, I moved to Texas. I was in 3 weddings within a month that fall. So they were pretty much like, yeah, we'll give you the time off if you move right now. So did that, moved down there, wasn't with any of the other interns that I was originally with. So I think that kind of made it hard, really not knowing anybody down there. I literally met someone at Starbucks, a girl that I ended up becoming friends with because I had a Purdue t-shirt on and she was like, did you go to Purdue? Oh my God, I went to Purdue.
Oh, and, wow. What type of nursing were you doing in Houston?
So originally started out as an adult neurosurgical ICU. So a lot of like stroke patients, dementia, kind of brain bleeds, injuries, all sorts of things. But I never really wanted to do the adult world, but the Children's Hospital here in St. Louis was on hiring freeze at the time I graduated. So that didn't really work out in my favor. So I did that, hated my life. I also, as Katie knows, did not pass nursing boards on the first time, which is really hard to admit, but it's a really important part of my story because that's kind of how I am the nurse that I am. Because a lot of people are like on social media and like, oh my gosh, I passed. And it's so frustrating when you went to a Big Ten school, graduated with like a 3.6 GPA, but tests just aren't my thing. And yeah, that was, I think my parents were legitimately concerned about my mental health and rightfully so. And then people on the floor that I was on, the unit down there in the hospital that had been on the floor for about 30 years started kind of up and quitting. There were a lot of management changes going on. So I decided that that's not the environment that I wanted to go to right after graduation because I didn't want to have that jaded sense of nursing in my mind right off the bat. So I came back home and it took a little bit between the nursing test and all that stuff, kind of get that all situated. Ended up passing that literally the first time I took it once I got home. So that was super exciting. But I was only able to start at St. Louis Children's part-time because that's all they had open. So I was a nurse, a part-time nurse, a part-time nanny, and a part-time substitute teacher slash nurse. So all 3 of those. And the nanny was for 4 kids under the age of 6. So it was very hectic.
Wow.
I drove a minivan. Like I've been a minivan full of kids.
We were just talking about minivans.
So have you transitioned yet?
No, I do not have a van yet.
Yeah. But keyword.
Unfortunately,
yet.
The word is yet. Okay, so I want to stop you right there. I love part-time jobs. I like think part-time jobs are the way to go, like multiple part-time jobs, but I do understand that like it's really stressful having more than one job. For so sure. What did you like about that situation and what did you not like about it?
So I love the fact that I was at least back home in an environment with people that supported me and kind of at that point in my life, I just needed friends around me, quite frankly, that knew where I was at and kind of where I was trying to go. But other than that, I honestly kind of loved the nannying gig. Like it was kind of like it was so fun because I wasn't just taking care of the kids at work and then leaving. Like I could actually, you know, I took them to baseball practice. And when you have a 2-year-old that has to pee and you're sprinting across a baseball field with 3 other kids, like we're going to the bathroom, let's go. Like, I don't know. It was a nice kind of change of pace. And then the school aspect of it, the school between sub teaching and sub nursing was kind of fun. Just, you get to see, I guess, all aspects of kids, which is obviously the part of nursing that I love. I'm a peds nurse through and through.
So you kind of had all kid-centered jobs and then you accepted the part-time job in St. Louis. So what happened next?
So they kind of got tired of paying me extra for picking up shifts / they had a full-time position open up. So then I took that and kind of slowly kind of dropped off the other 2 gigs. Did that for, I was at Children's for a total of a year and a half. Thought that I wanted to do travel nursing, but at the same time, I kind of found a love for our psych populations, our pediatric psych population. Lots of behavioral health kiddos, very complex psychosocial issues, which I find absolutely fascinating. So I decided to pursue that, and I ended up in Cincinnati. I actually moved there, took a job at Cincinnati Children's, did that for about 7 months, and their ped psych, they have an entire hospital dedicated to it, so it's like 12 units of just psych. So you admit kids as young as 4 all the way up to 18. So I really got to see all sides of the spectrum there. So that was super interesting, but also something that I could only handle so much of. And at that point in my life, I was also trying to come back to St. Louis for a relationship as well, which, yeah.
Talk about emotional stress.
Right.
Working with emotional stress, dealing with it yourself.
Yeah.
Right. That would be a hard job to leave at work.
Absolutely. Yeah. And it's 8-hour days compared to the 12-hour days at like a normal, typical hospital sounds like a fantastic kind of transition. But those 8-hour days are taxing for sure.
Oh, I bet. Okay, so you decided that you wanted to come back to St. Louis. Then what?
So I moved back to St. Louis. I worked at Mercy Hospital here, so I didn't go back to my original hospital either, mainly in part because they were in a transition period, so there weren't really job openings at the time. So I decided to do a different hospital where I got to see everything on one floor. So St. Louis Children's is divided by diagnosis. That's how the floors were kind of split up. Whereas Mercy, I got to see everything peds related on one floor. So I got to see our hem-onc kiddos or our cancer kids. You got to see kind of your general, you know, respiratory kids, infectious disease kids, and then kind of the rare kind of spouts of genetic or what have you.
And that, is that where you are now?
No. So I actually left that job in the middle of the summer. Really wasn't happy with the schedule. So I've rotated the two times that I've been in the hospital, I've rotated. So I've worked days and nights in the same week. Finally went to all night shift back in, I think, January, February, somewhere around then. But just really didn't. I am not a night person. I am through and through a 5 a.m.er. Like, I would much rather get up at the crack of dawn and then not stay out till like late.
Another reason why we see Kristen when we think of suggestions like wake up at 5 a.m. Kristen's like, yeah, that's a great idea.
Yeah, I do it all the time. It's great. So yeah, so between the schedule not really working out, and I feel like at that point in my life, like I just was not a happy human, quite frankly. It was just, that was spiraling into every other aspect of life, and it just made it 10 times more difficult to kind of have a schedule and just function normally. Because when you're trying to go to sleep at 8 o'clock in the morning and people are texting you like, hey, what's up? What are you doing? I'm like, I'm trying to go to bed, please and thank you.
Yeah.
But yeah, so I decided to kind of switch career paths. I subbed in a school before. So I am actually now a district float nurse for a school district here in St. Louis. So I go to all of the schools. I'm kind of like a permanent substitute nurse, but yet I also help our district lead nurse, work very closely with her and another float nurse, and just do paperwork, admin kind of stuff, as well as the nursing aspect of it, which I, so far, granted, it's only the second week of school, but the routine is super awesome. Love having my weekends back. Like, I can plan things and it's awesome. In addition to seeing healthy kids, like, not everybody has a raging appendicitis or you know, crazy, like they're normal healthy kids. So I like seeing that aspect of it, and being able to see all age spectrums is really cool too.
Yeah, no, I can totally see how that routine would just be amazing.
Gosh, the inner OCD in me is so happy.
You had all these job transitions going on, right? Still fresh out of college. So what was going through your head? Because we've talked about this before. Like, did you feel the pressure of having to find like that perfect job? Do you still feel like, what are people going to think if I quit this job next? Or like, what was going on through all these transitions?
So I think especially coming right out of school and not passing boards, that was by far the toughest, not only just me worried about what everybody else was going to think, but then it's almost you're sitting there and it's just like, how can I not do this? Like, how, you know, I've gone through school, I've done great through school. I was really involved in school, and that to me was, I can't even put that into words, how just mentally draining and exhausting, and just, you feel like a disappointment to yourself. And that is the absolute worst feeling on the face of the earth. But I feel like because I had hit that point, like I had hit such a low in that transition, that, I mean, my dad had always put it best, because whenever I would talk to my parents on the phone, he'd be like, Kristen, it's baby steps. You've got to take it one step at a time. You've got to get through this. And then, you know, then you'll figure out your next step. And I think that was really kind of the silver lining, is one step at a time. And that's when I feel like kind of making those goals, making those small attainable goals, just really kind of kicked in. And I had no other way to go but up. So at that point, it was just, okay, like, we're going to dig ourselves out of this hole. We're going to get through this, and it'll all work out in the end, and just trusting the process.
Yeah. And I think it's easy at that age to think, like, it's really one of the first moments where you really prove yourself.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And, you know, you get into a college and that kind of feels like, oh, yeah, I am smart enough. I can do this. And then, like, after college is that another moment where you have that. And when it doesn't happen, it's like you kind of probably do that identity crisis. Like, am I who I thought I was?
Is this what I'm supposed to be doing with my life? Crossed my mind. I don't know how many times. I'm like, oh, you know, like, because I worked at Target all through high school and college, and my boss had always told me at Target, like, hey, you should come, you know, work your way up at Target. And I'm like, you know what, maybe I should have just stayed at Target. Why did I pay out-of-state tuition to go to this university? Like, why? And it's just every day that I had a patient or family that touched my heart so much, it was like, this is why I do what I do.
That's amazing. So let's switch gears onto fitness. So, you know, you're being a nurse this whole time, but let's take it back to, like, how did you get into fitness as just, like, when did you fall in love with fitness, and then how did you become an instructor?
Okay, so I ran cross-country and track my first 2 years of high school. I was awful. Like, literally, I think there were a couple cross-country meets, actually probably more than a couple, that I legit finished last. There was one that I puked and I finished last, and I was just proud of myself for finishing at that point. But I had a lot of injuries in high school, and I think more of those were anxiety related rather than true injuries now that I'm looking back at it. But after that, and once I started working, because literally as soon as I turned 16, I was like driving up and down a couple of like the main streets. I think I put in like 40 applications. I'm like, I'm getting a darn job. I don't care if it's McDonald's at this point, like, I'm getting a job. And I feel like once I did that, my mom had always kind of been into group fitness. She was a stay-at-home mom for a little bit when we were younger, and she had always done, like, Jazzercise or whatever the latest and greatest was at the time. So we got into a kettlebell boot camp here at home. So I knew I wanted to find a group exercise program once I went to college, and therein lies Group X, which I loved. And I always wanted to be an instructor at that point, but it was nursing school just took up too much, and the stuff that I was involved in with that, it just didn't really allow for it at that time. Although there are a couple that have done it, and if they listen, shout out and kudos to them, because there's no way in heck that I could have done that in nursing school. Like, there's absolutely no way. But yeah, so I always wanted to do it. Like, I went to Katie's classes. I went to Taylor and Annie were a couple of the other ones. Like, I had my fave instructors, and I went to those classes religiously. Hashtag front row diva, always.
Front row diva.
That was my, like, release. Like, my roommates would literally be like, Kristen, go work out. Like, what are you, you're in a bad mood. Go do something. And then they tried to come to the gym because they're like, oh, yeah, we should go do a workout with her. And then I got the nickname of Jillian Michaels. So I have since adjusted, you know, after, like, now becoming an instructor, that has adjusted a lot. So they're going to probably end up listening to this. So you can come to my class and not be scared out of your mind, I promise. But, yeah, so I found that in college. And then when I went to Houston, that was one of the things that kept me sane. In all honesty, like, I would go to the gym down there, and I remember the receptionist was like, you've been here 3 times today. I'm like, yeah, I know. Yeah, it's fine. It's fine. Don't mind me. Like, just let me in. Like, you really have to point that out.
You're like the one participant that they have, like, we always had to do. We had to do this a couple times at the CoRec. Like, you had to, like, keep tabs on people who were there too often, exercise addict. But
yeah, but
I get it. You were at that time in your life where it was just, like, stress. And you
a lot of free time.
Yeah, a lot of free time.
Well,
And people like us, you're like, what do I – most people would, like, watch TV or, you know, sleep. And we're like, well, I guess I'll work out. It's, like, a hobby.
So I actually had kind of a funny encounter in Houston. So when I was literally at my apartment by myself, it's, like, Friday night, 10 o'clock at night, and I hear the scratching on my door, and I'm like, what on earth is this scratching at my door? So I call my dad, naturally, because I'm, like, daddy's girl, whatever, and I call my dad, I'm like, Dad, whispering into the phone, like, Dad, they're scratching at my door. He goes, what in the heck do you think I'm supposed to do from St. Louis? I'm like, I don't know.
Tell me.
Like, whatever. Literally look out my window that pointed straight at my front door. It was raccoons scratching at my door. That was a week after I moved in. A week before I moved out, I heard this sound out on my porch, like, out on my balcony, and I lived on the third floor. These suckers had to scale, I don't even know what trees were around, jumped onto my porch, like onto the balcony, busted through my chairs that I had out there. Granted, they were cheap Goodwill chairs, but whatever. Busted through my door, and they were having like their own little raccoon party out on my balcony.
Oh my gosh, that is crazy. So that
happened, I was like, anything to get out of this apartment, I will gladly do, for sure.
You just have to like get over the raccoons to get to the gym.
Oh, yeah, yeah, pretty much, yeah. They actually lived in the dumpster that was right by where I parked my car, so that was nice. But no, so that literally a gym is how, it's kind of funny, a gym and a pizza place is how I found my apartment in Cincinnati. Because one of the pizza places that's here in St. Louis is also in Cincinnati. It's Dewey's Pizza. It's amazing if you're ever in any city that has it. Delicious. So good. Their salads are amazing. Their dressings are homemade. I could go on for days. but literally, this pizza place was right next to this workout studio. And I was like, oh my God, done. Like, where can I get an apartment within walking distance? So I did that when I was there. And then when I moved back to St. Louis, again, it was just, it's always been a way for me to find like-minded people and to find people that kind of have those same goals and same mindset. So I found, it's called Bloom Fitness Studio here in Cottleville. It's a amazing network of women, most of which I'm the youngest of by far, but it's like most of them are moms and have kids and husbands and lives and whatever, but.
Our lives. Did you say lives or wives?
Lives.
I love it.
It's such an incredible group of women that just empower each other and push each other. And if one of us is having a bad day, there's seven others to pick you up and get you through the workout. Or they'll text you and be like, hey, are you coming today? And if you were even contemplating going before, damn right, you're going to get your ass there. Sorry. But it's just such an incredible community aspect of it. And I fell in love with that. They got me to fall in love with a cardio format, which I am after cross country in high school. Like I was like cardio, like big X, like get me away, get me away, get me away. But I found Piloxing. So it's dance, Pilates, and boxing all into a cardio mix. So it's really fun, really fast and upbeat. And you can punch out your frustrations from the day. Like I can't tell you how many, you know, people that I would imagine from work that I was just like, I had a really bad day. Like, I am going to imagine that that's what I'm pushing. And the instructor would be like, man, you did such a great job today. I'm like, I know. Wow. What happened?
A lot of people made me angry. Channeling right? My workouts.
Yeah. So channeling energy there. And from there, so I had started the group exercise through NASM when I was in Cincinnati. And that textbook is ginormous. Like, I think that's as big as my pathophysiology book in nursing school. Mm-hmm. And so I treated it like a nursing school book. I was going through it chapter by chapter, like reading every single line. And then I kind of stepped back. Like once I moved back to St. Louis, I'm like, Kristen, you probably know most of this stuff. Like it's probably, if you've taken enough group classes. So I finished that. I got my Piloxing certification. And then I also fell in love with booty yoga, and it's B-U-T-I, not B-O-O-T-Y. It's yoga, tribal dance, and plyometrics, deep abdominal toning all in one. So a lot of the deep abdominal, you're putting spiraling movements into the yoga move. So their signature is the spiral structure technique. So that is kind of the basis of a lot of the moves. Like you're always moving within your yoga poses.
I need to see. I think I've seen you do it on Instagram.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
The way you're describing it, you said spiral?
Yeah. So you just kind of like twist and you're spiraling. Or not twist, but you're literally spiraling your ribs or your lower abdominal muscles. And that's like creating just another tension and another form of movement into the pose. So
into the yoga poses, but it's also
like focused dancing,
but it's also mm-hmm. dancing.
Mm-hmm. So the tribal dancing. So you're adding like arm movements and upbeat music. So, I mean, you're doing yoga to Nelly or whoever else.
Love Nelly.
It's such a fun atmosphere. And like, there's some upbeat tribal moves and some upbeat tribal music and just like Major Lazer is one of the main artists that we use too. And just kind of literally songs that you never thought that you would hear in a yoga class. We do in booty. So makes it fun.
It sounds like so ridiculous, but awesome. Do you know what I mean? Like when mm-hmm. I don't understand. So I probably would like it.
Yeah. You know, yeah. Everyone that's listening is going to like YouTube it.
The creator, her name's Busy. She has changed the format a lot since it first came out, so do not YouTube it. If you want to, go to bootyyoga.com. It's B-U-T-I and then yoga, Y-O-G-A. I had to think about that. That's my bad.
Yoga.
Yeah, right? And yeah, that'll have some better kind of...
Okay, so up-to-date videos go to their website.
Yes.
Okay, cool.
So what was it that made you kind of take the push to actually get certified at Bloom?
Again, it was just one of those things that was on my bucket list. Like, you will instruct a class. I will, you know, teach 2 to 3 classes a week, which, side note, is a lot more than people ever give it credit for. Like, coming up with routines and everything else and having to learn choreography, oh my goodness, I do not have a dance background. So this is like totally, I have 2 left feet all the time. So I feel like literally the push that I had in my life was a breakup. I mean, that really was a pivotal moment. I was the one who kind of did that. So it was, if you're going to sit there and complain about stuff and you have the power to change it and you're not going to do anything about it, then you are just as much creating the problem and adding to that problem rather than doing something about it, rather than being a part of that solution. So that was a huge kind of wake up call, because I literally got all 3 of those certifications within 6 weeks of that happening. So
you felt like I'm sitting here like unhappy because I went through a breakup. So I'm going to do something about it, kind of flip my happiness around and pursue fitness on the side of nursing. Cool.
That's also when I decided to start looking for other jobs too, because I knew I wasn't happy at work. I knew that the schedule just wasn't working out for me. No matter what I tried to do, I, like I said, I'm a 5 a.m.er like through and through. So it just wasn't working. And again, it was one of those things where it's like, okay, what's not working in your life? This. Okay, let's change it. Mm-hmm. Like, can't do something about it? Oh, all right, let's go. And just having the support of people at the studio behind me 100%.
So it sounds like really, I mean, the breakup happened, mm-hmm. but it sounds like really fitness and more so this community of women was really the catalyst of
yes.
a lot of the big changes that happened. Well,
Bloom was huge. So I randomly went there. I had passed by the studio. It's literally like 2 seconds down from where my high school was at. And I passed it numerous times and they had a small business Saturday thing where like your first class is free. I now find out that your first class is free regardless of what day of the week it is. But I had gone there and like immediately the instructor, she was just on fire. Like her energy. I was just like, I want to be you. Like, how do I do that? How do I keep coming here? Like, what do I need to do? And literally my boyfriend at the time was like, well, why are you going to this place all the time? Like, you're there all the time. And I'm like, yeah, I know, but it's such an energy. It's such a, like, it gets me on such a high on life kind of feeling. And he hated that. I don't think he really cared for that at all, which was one of the problems, one of many, but that was... It was like I found my people. Like I found where I fit in. Yeah. I found tribe. And there's no going back. Like once you find that and you just click and it just – life just starts happening just all across the board. And you realize what's working in your life. And again, if you can do something about it, then do it.
I love those moments in life though where it's like you just know that you're like at the right place at the right time. And you just want to like hold on to it. And like you said, like pursue it. Really, it's kind of what you're saying is like you clicked somewhere and you just like wanted to pursue that. And I love that. I love that. I love your attitude and like confidence to make a change, because I think it's really hard for some of us to make changes. And
absolutely 100% easier said than done. Like that, like, yeah, it seems like I went kind of boom, boom, boom. But there was definitely a lot of, I mean, there's a lot of goals and just paper. I go through forests in a year. I'm pretty sure. I do recycle. I recycle literally everything and anything I can because I know that I contribute.
Yeah. So let's talk about goals for a second then. What is like your goal writing situation? How do you know how to write goals?
Well, Katie kind of got me hooked on Shalene Johnson. So
yay.
Shocker there.
Yeah, that's where I started. And that was kind of the start of my love for personal development, anything and everything I can get my hands on.
30-day push, right?
Oh, yeah. Yep. Because it was an email to your inbox every day. So you can't ignore that.
I loved that. 30-day push was the shit.
In case you're wondering, though, 30-day push is gone. You can no longer do it. So we were in on the early days.
Yeah, but they have the push journal now, which is, again, a pen to paper aspect of it. But now my latest obsession is Rachel Hollis. Like, Wash Your Face is amazing. If you guys have not read it, if any listeners have not read it, you need to go to Target now and buy it, or you need to get it on Audible, because she reads it herself, which makes it 10 times better, because there's emphasis and just all the things, all the things. But she has a lot of different personal development, motivation kind of stuff. And I kind of go through it in phases, but I feel like the last probably like 5 or 6 months, like it's been a significant part. So I try and set aside some time, each week, whether that's, you know, 2 hours one day or maybe 10 minutes here and there, just kind of as I'm thinking of stuff, putting it in my phone. But then kind of breaking it into, I like to go kind of revert back to Chalene Johnson, because it's like the 10 areas of your life and kind of where are you at in each of those areas. It's just reevaluating kind of where you're at and what you're doing and where you want to go. Another one that I found really helpful, I'm also kind of an essential oil junkie as well. Like, I'm going to be that crunchy granola mom one day. proudly so. But there is a duo that I actually went to a book signing for here when they came to St. Louis, and they're called the Oola Guys. So it's OOLA, and they have a book. It's Finding Balance in an Unbalanced World. And it's the 7 areas you need to balance and grow to live the life of your dreams. And it's, again, that same principle of just kind of going through, seeing what's working, what's not, where you can improve, and really having action steps and going through there. So I kind of find for each stage of my life, I feel like there's been some sort of personal development kind of key person that I've followed. And then just kind of go from there. But seriously, Rachel Hollis, she's just so genuine. She's hysterical. Like, she is a no BS. Like, it's all out there. It is all out there. And I feel like that's what people love about her. But
yeah, and that's what people love about social media nowadays, is the authenticity. But yeah, we also love her. And we went to see her documentary. And you did too, right?
Yeah. Oh my gosh, Make for More. I put that in Netflix every day because I think that Netflix needs to just have it. And so I can watch it on repeat.
Right. I forgot that you can request. I saw that you can request titles.
What?
Yeah. On Rachel Hollis's Instagram story, they gave instructions on how you can like request a title on Netflix.
Uh-huh.
I meant to do it. So I'm glad you're doing it every day. You're pulling your weight.
Yeah. I make up for... Yeah, a lot of people.
We need to be better about that.
Yeah. We need to add that to the to-do list.
I watch a lot of Instagram stories at work. And so a lot of times I'm not listening to them and I just tap by. And I'm like, I'm not listening because I can't hear. And then I forget to watch them.
Yep.
I actually do that with your stories. I will like stop.
Thanks a
lot. Wait, hear me out. Hear me out. I will like your story will start and I'll be like, oh, crap. Turn it off because I want to. Yeah, because I can't listen at the moment, and I want to listen to it later. I usually do go back.
So you pick up on a lot of different kind of systems, and it sounds like make your own. But the key is that you do visit your goals.
Oh, absolutely. Weekly. Yeah. Rachel actually had a suggestion in her movie, and then one of her videos that I've watched. The goal is to spend in a week's time. Work on your goals 5 times in that week for an hour at a time. So like at least 5 days you're sitting down and doing some sort of dedicated time, whether you're waking up earlier or you kind of make sure you set that time aside after dinner or after the kids go to bed or whatever you have going on in your life and really pushing towards that.
I like how she said that. We're going to do an episode kind of going over that, but that I forgot that. I really liked how she kind of broke that up because when you put it in perspective, it's like, it doesn't even have to be an hour, but everyone can make time in their day to look at their goals.
Absolutely.
I have a lot to say about goals nowadays, but I think I'll save that for our... I think the episode that Katie's talking about, we're going to do a review on Made for More and the book.
Oh, solid.
But I'm pretty sure it's going to come out before this episode.
Okay.
Well, we know you love goal setting as much as we do, so we have to ask, what are... your current goals, whether that's personally, professionally, just life, share with us.
It's kind of funny because this is actually on my to-do list for this week, is to reevaluate everything.
Well, you're doing it live.
Yeah. as far as career, so I absolutely love the job change that I've made. And again, I know I'm new and naive into the whole thing, but just really growing into that role and being a resource for people and maybe one day doing, like, becoming more of a leader and maybe taking that next step. I don't know exactly what that'll look like, but love the thought of that idea. Mm-hmm. And
that's a good place to be at, though, professionally. A place where you just made that transition, it's better than you were before, and you're just, like, in a moment of growth, right? Yeah. So you're not really setting a new goal, but you're like, I'm just going to be in this moment, yes. Enjoy it, and learn and grow.
Yeah, soak up every minute like I'm a sponge. As far as fitness, so I actually start teaching at a new studio tomorrow. It's a surf class, so it's a boot camp style class, but on surfboards, and it's literally a surf, like, it's surfboard attached to stability balls with like the little resistance bands, kind of. So that'll be super fun and exciting and something new and different that a lot of people don't think of or would never try or hear of. So that's super exciting. So my goal there is to consistently teach at least 1 to 2 classes a week and be on top of it with that. I would love to start officially teaching a booty class at a studio, which there's a couple opportunities I'm looking into for that. And then I also I find it kind of comical because I don't really see it as like a job. But lately I've done a couple of modeling gigs for bridal boutiques. So one of my friend's sister-in-laws is one of the head gals for one of the bridal shows here in St. Louis. And so I've kind of got roped into that initially, and I find it kind of fun. It's fun to kind of play dress up again, get your hair and makeup done. I've always been a super tomboy, and it's just totally out of my box, but I love that about it. And it's just, again, pushing yourself into something that you never thought that you would like or something that you thought you would do. So that's been super fun as well.
Yes, and I just saw the show that you did. Now that you bring that up, I just saw a photo that you posted on Instagram. So if you're interested, listeners, you should go see the photo because that wedding dress that you had on was beautiful. I loved it.
And I know what you mean. It sounds so silly, but like that is a form of practicing improving your self-confidence because absolutely. You have to put on a tight dress and like
strut,
put a lot of makeup on, which, you know, if you're not used to, but that's so awesome. I love that.
Yeah, it's fun.
Yeah, again, totally out of my comfort zone. If you would have told me, like, even a year ago that I was doing that, I'd be like, you're funny. Like, are we talking about the same person? Like, and then other than that, just really focusing on formulating and continuing to grow within friendships that matter. Again, I know that I said earlier, kind of every stage of life, I feel like you go through different groups of friends, but really focusing on the 5 people that you're around the most or that you choose to be around can really impact your life in either a positive or a negative way. Take out the trash, own your worth, and don't put up with people's bullshit. That's what I have to say about.
snapping over here on Skype.
Yep. And at the age that we're at, it's like you really have to start investing in relationships.
Yes.
You know, it becomes harder to maintain old friendships because they might live across the nation, they might live down the street, and you still don't see them. Like, you really have to put that effort forward. So I appreciate that that's a focus of yours.
And it's just crazy how many people you keep in contact with from college that, like, I mean, I haven't talked to a couple of the people I've talked to within the last couple of weeks in at least a year or two. And it's just, some people you just pick up right where you left off, and it's awesome, and you can appreciate those friendships so much more, and they mean so much more to you. And when you have that time together, you just make the best of it.
Yeah.
Kristen, I love just to kind of hear you go through your story. I mean, like, I feel like you've just grown so much as a human and really have kind of stepped into like the badass woman that you are. Do you know what I mean?
Absolutely. I appreciate that. Yeah. I mean, I kind of toot my own horn here, but I feel the same way, so.
It's okay to toot your own horn.
Yeah, Purdue, I can toot whatever I want.
Only Boilermakers understand that. Both here and IU, whatever. We won't go there.
Yeah.
So what advice do you have for our listeners or someone who is really trying to pursue their passion, like while they have two different passions, but what advice do you have to give them to pursue their passion on the side?
Again, making sure that you've got a hell of a group behind you, whether that's family, friends, significant other, find your tribe and love them hard. Like that is one of the things that I found the last 6 months. Cause when I think one of the gals from the studio, her birthday was the other day, and I was just like, I've only known you for 7 months, but it feels so much longer. These are people, these are women of all ages. There's you know, women that honestly have kids my age, but it's finding those people and really giving it all you got with them. That's my first thing. My second thing would be pen to paper. It just really helps you formulate. I love doing brain dumps, like weekly brain dumps, where you literally just empty it out until you can't possibly come up with anything else. And then you fill up a whole other page. And that really just helps you sort out kind of what you're thinking and kind of what's going on in your head. Turning those into small attainable goals and just always keeping in the back of your mind. And this is, I feel like one of those things that's really hit me the last couple months as well, is it's not going to happen all at once and stuff's going to go wrong. And that is totally okay. Like at the end of the day, as a nurse, are all my kids pink and breathing? Yes, they are. My job is done for the day. Like they are cared for. And that goes into my personal life too. You know, stuff's not going to, you're not going to get X, Y, Z, whatever it is that you want, whatever it is that you're reaching for in a heartbeat. Like it is going to take time and it's going to take dedication and just realizing that process is exactly that. It's a process. It's not an overnight kind of thing.
Yeah.
I think people like us, like everybody who's listening to this, we're such go-getters. And after college, like you have all these, I'm going to like find my dream job. My dream life is going to happen like this. And I mean, we've talked about this, like it takes time to realize that's not going to happen and that's okay.
Or you get into the job or you get into the relationship or whatever it is and you realize like either, oh, this is hard. Like I like it, but it's hard and that's weird, or it sucks and you have to make adjustments from there.
Yep. I mean, I just think of how many like jobs I've had since college, and my mom kind of jokes around. She's like, "Listen, you do have to stay at this job," and I'm like, "I know that, but if I'm one where if I don't like it, I'm gonna get out."
Yeah,
it's not worth my mental sanity. So.
Same, I'm the exact same way with jobs. I'm really good at getting jobs, is what I like to say.
Yeah, that's not the problem at all. Like, yeah. Hmm.
I'm a catch.
Yeah, I've got a catch.
I know what I have, and I'm gonna own that. So. You guys that hire me.
I will add on to your first point about like having a circle of great influences on your life. I would say that just if someone hasn't found that yet, because if like the intention might be there, but you might be thinking, I haven't found anybody. Like I do work out, but I'm not around my family or whatever. I would say like invest in those people, even if they don't. Like, you don't necessarily walk into a gym and see, like, oh my gosh, these people are going to be my best friends. Like you said, like, the people that you're such good friends with at the gym now, they don't look like you.
I mean, even if you don't have those people right now, putting yourself out there in different situations, like, again, like, the modeling thing. I mean, have I met anybody that's been, like, my BFF from that? Not necessarily, but I wouldn't have known that had I never tried it. Yeah. I feel like really just putting yourself out there and trying stuff that you may not try, or just it's weird, it's out of your comfort zone, but go for it. That is, I think, one of my number one things is go for it.
Right. It doesn't have to be fitness. It could just be
any hobby.
Anything.
Yeah. If you want to knit, you know, go find a knitting club or whatever. Like, I mean, I can't really think of any other hobbies right now, but whatever it is that you love to do, man, go do it.
I love that. All right. So what is the best thing that's happened to you this week?
So this was actually a couple days ago when I was hanging out with my tribe, some of them, and one of them literally pulled me aside, or we were going in to get some snacks or something like that. And she was like, something to the effect, I don't remember the exact words, but something to the effect of, you, the last couple of months have just like bloomed into yourself. And it's kind of funny because that's the name of the studio that we all go to, is Bloom Fitness. And there's also another boot camp that I go to that I found friends through, but Bloom's my primary, my number one. And really finding she was just like, you have just, she's like, it's like, you know, you find a problem in your life and you fix it. She goes, and you have become such an amazing person. Like, you can just tell that you love life, and that is priceless. And so that just having other people validate what you've been doing and what you've been working on for what seems like eons and eons, and just having that be recognized. I know, like, the whole, like, five love language, whatever that stuff is, I'm one that just, like, tell me thank you, or tell me, like, hey, I've noticed this. Good job. Keep it up, you badass. And I'm just like, hell yeah. Like, you just have full appreciation for the people that recognize that. And that is absolutely priceless to me. So the fact that she pointed that out was just like, oh, yeah, I have done things. Because sometimes in life you don't feel like you've done much, or, you know, you've got so much on your own to-do list that it's like, have I really checked anything off? Mm-hmm. But the fact that people like that in your life, and that's why they're so important, and I love them all to death.
Yeah, it's like a moment that you're forced to celebrate. You're like, you know what? I have come really far. Yeah. I need to recognize that.
Exactly.
Well, I've loved hearing, like, your whole story in, like, one succinct interview. We've mentioned throughout of different things that people should check out. But if people want to, like, just see more of what you're doing and get to know you a little bit more, how can they find you?
So I am on Instagram. I believe it's kmuller319. Can't find me for whatever reason. Just go back to the photo.
If you can't find me, go look whoever was the first like.
Yeah, the first like on our
front row diva always.
Front row diva, near and far.
We've thought about starting a Facebook group, and we're like, well, we know Kristen will be there.
Oh, so challenge group junkie.
That is right. Kristen is, like, when we did our health coaching, Kristen was challenge group junkie. Like, I just added her. Like, she never even always did all the work. Like, I'm like, just be a part. Like, you're just going to be the cheerleader, okay? She's like, duh, obviously, I'm in.
Always, if anybody ever needs a cheerleader or anything, hit me up, because it's fun to lift other people up, because you've been there yourself, and if you can offer that to someone else, why the hell not?
Yes, 100%.
Yes, love that. Well, Kristen, thank you so much for being on the podcast. As always, if you found this episode helpful, be sure to share this with another fit friend, and can't wait to see what you do next.
Awesome. It's such a good time. Thanks, guys.
Thanks. See you later. Bye.
Can you say fit?
Can you say friends?
Friends.
Can you say happy?
Happy.
Can you say hour?
Hour.
Good job. You can say have a great day.
I'm good.